tackling shaylos which is a hakdama for dinner with us. So let's start with this shaylos. Reuven, Maisha Shoya Kakoya. Reuven was having stomach problems. So he visited his local family doctor. The doctor checked him out and said, it's a viral thing, nothing to be worried about, please go home and take some aspirin if you need to. A day or so passed, still problematic, goes back to the doctor again says, okay, there's nothing really to worry about, but since you've got still pains, maybe you should go to have some tests in the hospital. And he set up the test, goes to the hospital, they say, well, the doctor doesn't say it's tchuf, so we'll set up the test for a month's time. Not tchuf, so you're back of the queue. Shabbos comes, extreme agony, Hatzolah is called, he's taken to the hospital, they do emergency surgery, they cut out some of his intestines.
Not appendicitis.
No. After a thorough examination by the professors in the hospital, they say that if you were to come in earlier when you first had the pains, it wouldn't be necessary to go through the operations. We could have handled it with medicine. Your doctor was extremely negligent in handling your case. Now the question arrives, is can he go to the court and make claims of damages against the doctor and to get out of the insurance the payment for those claims of damages? He's been told by lawyers, yes, everyone's Jewish, told by lawyers in the suing doctor's business, this is a business in itself,
there are many, yes.
That there's plenty of money there to get from such a case.
Especially for the lawyers.
So let's see what. Firstly, just let's read what's the obligation of the Kupat Cholim in respect to such cases.
And why doesn't he want to go to Beis Din?
So let's see what the Kupat Cholim's obligation is. According to their own statutes.
This happened in Israel?
Yes.
Okay.
Kubat Boru. The Kubat Cholim Biskashus im Lukuchaseh. Kubat Cholim, when it has dealings with its clients, its patients. Kufufa Lukuka Hamatina. This is from the statutes of verse. The Kufufa Lukuka Hamatina. They're obligated according to the laws of the country. Or the Pesikas based on Mishpat according to what the courts, the secular courts, decide. But they're Ki'ilu, and therefore, it's Ki'ilu, his Chayvu Mufareshus, and Shayim Pitsu Nezikim. It's Ki'ilu, they've signed a contract that they are obligating themselves to pay penalties in cases where they are negligent with their patients, according to Sigan's base of Mishra, according to the secular courts. Vikim Shikach is Saivu, and since that's their Ki'ilu written contract, that we're obligating ourselves to pay damages of negligence according to what the secular courts have said, therefore Ki'ilu, it's now a Tzanai Shiva moment. So therefore, it's a condition written, so to speak, of my contract with you. You're Mr. Patient, and I'm obligating myself to treat you and obligate you to pay you according to whatever the court sees.
I understand that the cult is quoting from Aisha the Mama?
No, that last bit is me. I really.
Oh.
Okay. Now, so, what's the halacha, which we already touched on last week? And we're going to analyze it over here a bit, just to refresh our cobwebs. that when you write in the contract, when you have a financial agreement with somebody, or any getting into some agreement, you write, you know what? Whatever happens, we're going to build our obligations based on whatever the courts tell us. Is that something which is chal or not chal? So what did we see last week? It's a question which is not supposed to be answered yet. So we saw, let's repeat what we saw quickly and get back into it. We have two options in front of us. Firstly, we have the Shulchan Aruch in Ilchus Gezela, number 2. In Sif Yud Aleph, that says, Hanosa Isha, you get into a contract with your wife. You go marry her. That's a contract. But Malkum Shadon, if it's in the Overkofim, in a place where, in the town, they always go, what the courts go, according to our marriage contract, it defines what evidence of the courts is. Umeisa Isha, and then, unfortunately, the wife dies. Lo Yochu Avi Ishto, the father-in-law can't say and turn around and say, "Call a nosa isha das minoku." He can't say, "Well, you married the wife based on the town's laws, and the town's law says that I get my money back of the dun of the dowry which you brought in. I gave you money for the marriage. Wife is no longer around. You have to give it back." You can't say that, even though that's the law of the land, because that's a problem. To go like the law of the land. You can't obligate yourself to go like the law of the land. You have to go according to what Torah says. What does Torah say? When the wife dies, who gets the money? The husband, not the father-in-law, gets his money back. So it clearly says, when you write the clause, that we are obligating our financial relationship here, according to what the courts say, it's not valid. Because it's matna amasha kosa the Torah. You're going against the Torah, not valid, not at all, has no validity, even though you agreed. And you have to go what the Torah says, and the husband gets it. That's one Shulchan Aruch. What does the second Shulchan Aruch say? Second Shulchan Aruch says, Shiv Mara, somebody on his deathbed. Sha'omer, who says, Nachosi Laploni, that when I die, I want Reuven to get my possessions. Ba'achav Laploni, and when Reuven dies, it should now then go to Shimon. So, when I die, goes to Reuben. After when Reuben dies, it then should go to Shimon. In my Russian Roy Larosh, the halacha in the Torah, halacha is, if Reuben, who's supposed to get the money first, is somebody who's also a halachic heir, ain't a shame to him. Doesn't matter, you said after Reuben it should go to Shimon. Once you're giving it to a halachic heir, it stays with the heir and all his family, even though you want it to go to Shimon, it's not valid. That's the halacha. According to the Torah.
Even if it's more than the share he would be entitled to.
Yes. Yeah. Says the Ramah, there's a condition attached, says the Ramah. Vim also had but if you make that will that it should go to Reuben first and then to Shimon, in a place where the town law says that it goes to Shimon and everyone it goes according to that town law, goes to Shimon, even if the Reuben is an heir. Lo Aminu Shunya said, then overrides what the Torah said, that it shouldn't go to Shimon, because it should stay by the heir, should stay by the heir and all his family. That's what the Torah says. It overrides that, because that's what the law says over here. The law says that it goes to Shimon, even though it went to Reuben first, even though it went to the heir first, because the law overrides it. So what's going on? We've got now a conflict, a stira in Shulchan Aruch. This is what we had last week, and we need to remind yourself how to resolve this conflict. What Shulchan Aruch says, doesn't matter what conditions you set. You say, I want to follow secular law, and we both agree, you can't, it doesn't work, it's going against the Torah, it nullifies, it's not valid condition, and you have to follow halacha. That's what Shulchan Aruch. The other halacha says, you make a condition, it says, Torah law says, well, it shouldn't go to Shimon. I want to go with the secular law, which says it does go to Shimon. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it works. How do you rectify that stira? Now you can come back in and waken your cobwebs from last week, because we answered this last week. What's the answer to that question? One place says you can't override the Torah law, even both agree. The other one says you can.
If they're going completely according to the entire system of the secular law, then you can't. But if a particular area, particular din, you want to say that you find favor in that din,
okay, very good. We'll read it inside. The Orach LeSadik says, like we said last week, Hakamam to low confidence of Rashi. The Rashi only said it doesn't work. It's only when you want to choose and say, you know, we've got two systems here. Torah system, secular system. You know what? I'm going to make a vote. I'm voting for the secular system. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's the buzzer of the Torah. You can't do such a thing. You can't say the system of the secular system just is a better one and we forget about the system of the Torah. That's what you're not allowed to do. So you can't say, well, whatever the law of the country is, I'm willing to go with. I'm not interested in the Torah, what it tells. I'm interested in the law. That not matter. But Avinegu became a lev. But if you are just going with that the Goyim came up with, the secular law came up with, one particular law, and it sounds, yeah, it sounds like a logical thing to me. I'm not saying that whatever the Goyim say, whatever the secular law says, is a good system rather than so. No, I want to go with the Torah. Just I want to add this particular relationship in between us. I want to have this idea of theirs, which they came up. Was it quite a good idea? I agree to the idea. The idea is good. I'm not agreeing to their system. I'm agreeing that they came up with an idea which is particularly good. So this particular field, yeah, in particular, I want to go with this. That it works. I'm not choosing that system. I'm still going with the whole Torah system. I just want to take an idea of this and say it applies to our contract. For example, last week we said that when you employ a worker, even though Torah says you don't get redundancy fee for when you leave, but since there is a law out there you do, and I say I employ you, there's an unspoken condition that says I'm employing you with the redundancy fee package involved as well. I'm not choosing that system, I'm just saying that particular idea is a good one. So that is okay.
Isn't the Rama talking about the system though?
No. He's talking about there's a particular case of when you're choosing Reuben to get it first, and then after Reuben says, then Shimon, in this town, they do it according to the second law. And we want to follow that particular idea. It was a good idea. It was a good idea. We're following that particular idea. Not their system. Just that particular idea was good. That you can do. So you can pick and choose particular laws of there, which they come up and say, the idea is good. I want the idea, not their system. That's okay. That was the car. Now, let's relate back to our case. When the Kupa Cholim say, we're obligating ourselves in our relationship to our patients over here that we're dealing with, that whatever the courts tell us to do, we're going to fill those obligations. Are they obligating themselves to a particular idea of which the courts came up, or the whole merakis of the courts? What are they doing?
A particular idea? No. Just
the whole merakis?
No.
Or a particular idea of the courts?
Only in the area of health law.
Let's say it was a worker employment issue, okay. Let's say it was a real estate
that's
issue,
fine.
Let's say it was
that's
anything.
Fine. No, they're not agreeing to real estate issues here.
Anything the court tells them.
No, only when it comes to health law. They're not agreeing to anything about real estate. If they go rent an apartment, then they're not saying that we're going to abide by the...
Are they going with the whole system and says, look, we just want to be governed by whatever the secular law is, and that's where we're covered on the basis. That's what we want to be governed. We don't want to be dealing with whatever the Torah is. We want to go with this.
It's only what he said. That's the only area that they're concerned with.
I didn't quote the whole thing.
But that when they get a license, they don't have to agree to abide by real estate law. They have to agree to abide by medical law.
What is law?
No, they're going to do the medical license.
Does it say medical law that they're abiding by themselves? Or they say any disputes, any conflict in any field with our patients that we're dealing with, we're just choosing the system that tells us what to do.
We because they agree with the system, not because they
no. When I get a CPA license, I have to agree to abide by the laws that govern CPAs. I don't have to agree not to steal. One has nothing to do with the other, unless I'm doing it in the course of being an accountant. When they're opening Kupat Slim, they have to agree to abide by the laws of Kupat Slim. Has nothing to make sense. It's the condition of life, I think.
Okay.
It's the condition of life.
We have a machlokas over here. We're having a machlokas between Matzis and Shmuel. whether this is dividing themselves to the whole system, which is awesome, or just taking a particular area in the system and saying, this is a good idea to apply to us. I have a bending towards one side. But I'll prove Butters wrong next week. Okay. So you missed my point, okay. No, no. The beginning of the show, we do that at the end of the show. Okay. Now, so as I say, at this stage, I'm unwilling to leave it as two ways to look at it. I have a liking and a tear to what Shmuel say. I'm going to prove Matthew's wrong next week. I can't prove you wrong because I'm not going to spend my time proving Matthew's wrong this week. I'm going to prove him wrong ready next week. Okay? Not me, prove halacha. Prove how we look at it. Okay. So, for now, leave it as maybe I'm right. Or maybe Shmuel's right. Yeah. Okay. Now, so now we come to a very common shaila. Before we get to our main shaila, we come to a very common shaila, like we like to do. Now, when you bought your apartments, everybody, or houses, I don't know if you've got houses or apartments, yeah? When you bought it, what did you do? How did you buy it?
Paid a lot of money.
Bank.
What? I'm not saying, I'm not sure whether you bought it yet, or the bank has still got it.
Right,
I'm
asking that question.
No, how did you physically, so to speak, go through the process of buying it and it's officially in your name? How, what did you do?
Went to a lawyer.
That's the first stage. But what did you do by the lawyer? You just had coffee?
Contract.
Oh, contract. Okay. Now, did you ever read the contract when you signed it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like 70 pages long.
Now, did you ever notice that in the contract there's a clause? There's a clause it's over there. And what does that clause say that is relevant to our shaila?
Depends if you're from or not.
What does it say?
It's a dispute that's under the jurisdiction of this law, this court, and this...
In case of any dispute between me and the Kavdan, if you bought from the Kavdan, then it would be decided in Tel Aviv-based Mishpat, secular court, according to the laws of Israel.
Okay. You have to sign that when you buy tiles as well.
Okay. I'm just saying something which is everyone's relevant. For you, it's that's okay. Right. Now, is there any problem in doing such a thing?
Depends on what you hold of the
is there any problem in doing such a thing?
If you hold the Medina, it's like Sukkot Hagoyim.
Do you have to do teshuva or not do teshuva for such a thing? Okay. Let us see this. So, the Torah brings down, in the Maramokah number 3, the Baal HaTrumas. The Baal HaTrumas says the following. Kosev Baal HaTrumas. Says the Baal HaTrumas. Lova Shachai Baks Mimikinim. Somebody borrowed money. And at time of borrowing, he obligates himself with a halakhic form of transaction. Vakach. Lelelech in a marvel adombat in the atom. He obligated himself, you know, if we get into problems, we'll go to the secular courts. Yeah? In Yeshus, the Malva Makak. Shioch, Liskos, Vedem, Beloved Israel. If it's Haka, gives it the lender an upper hand by going to the secular courts and not going to the basin. Ein Halova, Yoch, Lazaba, then the lender cannot retract, he's obligated to fulfill that condition. The borrower is obligated to fulfill that condition. She'ein molach kinikum, because once he signs on the dotted line, you can't retract. So what do we see, at least from this day for Chumas, that if you have such a clause in the contract, that, you know, if you have any problems, we'll go to the secular courts. Says the Sefer Chumash, if it's Taka better for him to go to the second court, then he's actually obligated to go to the second court.
Well, not necessarily. Well,
that's a very problematic statement. I ask my question, then the Matzis will ask his question. My question is like this. The whole discussion up to now was whether you can bind yourself according to secular laws. That's what we're discussing up to now. Secular laws which the Torah doesn't give you. Can you bind or not? He said certain way you can, but not as a whole package. Here, the Sefer Torah is saying even more than that. What's he saying? Not only you can bind yourself according to secular laws, you can also obligate yourself that to go in events of disputes, to go to the secular court itself. How can you do that? That's a fairish written in the Torah. Lifnei before you, the Basin, below Lifnei Agoyim, you can't go to the secular court. No one even suggested that. That's how we just say you go to the Basin, but what rights do you have? The secular laws or the Basin laws? And here it says, you don't even need to go to the Basin, you go to the courts, the courts is written there. What do you mean? That's definitely going against the Torah.
So, the Baal HaTrumos, I don't think he's talking about the secular court. He could be talking about arbitration, which is mutter. That's on to the comment that most contracts today call for arbitration rather than going to particular.
Does he say arbitration?
He says Dayani Akum, he didn't say Dine Akum. He says the judges are goyim, which is fine. As long as it's not a government system.
Okay. That is a suggestion. What? Suggestion is that Martin is saying it doesn't mean go to the secular courts, it means to go to Goyim out of the secular courts. In the house. That's what Martin is saying. Which is no soft bullshit, so you can derive it. Okay? Now, so what's the answer to my question? It's preferish, it's in the Torah to go to the courts, and if you make a petition to it, it's called Matna Masha Konservatory, it's not Baal. How can even the Sefer Torah say it works? You could say maybe you're obligated to, according to the secular law in Basin, but to actually go to the court? How can you say such a thing? What's the answer to that? Achronim ask it. The Sivas ask it, and then Sivas gives the answer. But before you look and say, what do you suggest? The Dear Chaveinim, Tamit Rachamim.
The German situation.
You find that something
wrong with you, so you want to take it to court. You want to take the best. It's not the same if you come
to an agreement. If you have a dispute, you go to some,
this guy can
call you sideways. Why is that any better? Because
how are you deciding
that this law is better than this? Oh, that's what Martin said. You're not going. So that's what Martin said. You can go to them in their private house. Because you're just saying they can decide it, but you can't go to the system. Right, but what's Matna Mashkos Torah says, even if both agree, that's when you both agree, even if both agree to do an Issa, it doesn't work. And the Torah says it's an Issa to show your face in secular court, being a Jew, so therefore it doesn't matter if you both agree. It's if you both agree to do an Issa, that's what the family. So you say that, Matzahs, we're not going to the secular court, we're going to his house and have, where he has coffee and he's just giving us his opinion, not his official opinion. Maybe that works.
Yeah. I would say if that specific area is dominated by laws in the Medina, then you have the right to go there. In other words, if it's going to be registered in Tabu and all sorts of Medina things, so maybe the halakha allows you to go for the Mumkin in that system.
Because they hijacked and prevented the halacha from getting involved, that means that you're allowed to go to them. That's what you're suggesting, then. Okay. So let's see what the Tziva says. The Tziva says the following. He says, Dafka, what does he mean? He says, I'm a dyke, says the Tziva. I'm a dyke for the Sefer Baal HaTrumos. The Dafka, in Eina Malvus Chushvaza, Lo Chalkin. The Sefer Torah said a funny thing. He says, you can only go if you have some benefit in going. If you have no benefit, you can't go. What's it got to do with benefits or not benefits? Either you can go, you can't go. What's it got to do with benefits? Says the Sefer Torah, you know what? He doesn't mean what you think he means. If you have some size of benefits, then you can't be retracted. What does it mean? That means you now have created obligations on your possessions to pay according to what the laws say, but not, of course, not to go actually to the courts. You can't go to the courts. Then you go to Basin, and Basin will look at what the courts would tell you and give them your rights.
Wow.
Says to the Sivis, even though it's not the Kasha, it's about Shulis, but because of the Kasha, it can't be what he's saying. He's saying what you spend in Shulis. He says, when you have such a clause in the contract, it means that you'll go to Basin. You can't go to the federal court, you have to go to Basin, and Basin will have to know what the secular war will give you and actually give you those rights in Basin. Machas the shalom that you could go to court, that you can't.
So
what do we see from here? We see from the Nesivas and the Sma and the Torah, the same as the Shumas, that they seem to be this week clearly arguing on the Rashba. Because what did the Rashba say? The Rashba said, even if you don't go to their courts, but just to bind yourself by the system is a problem.
It's just one particular area.
And here, the Nesivas and the Smart Sefer Shulman say that to bind yourself by the system in Basin, to bind yourself according to the system of Goyish law in Basin, that's okay. But according to the Rashba, that's not okay. Not only, there's two Isser, the Isser going to the courts, and the Isser to say that even if you don't go to the courts, it's to say that we're governed by the Torah, but knowing the Torah system, we go by the courts. That itself is also. It seems to be that we don't paskin like the Rashba in the eyes of the Torah, in the eyes of the Sran, of the things. We do not paskin like the Rashba. Seems to be, from over here, that you can bind yourself, you're allowed to bind yourself from the system as long as you're in Basin. That seems to be the idea. Yeah, but this is now a different Shulchan.
But this is one particular area, just this Mahamara. And just this Mahamara.
So we see from here as a Raya, not like you, and we're going to see more Rayas not like you next week. So, that's what Nesiv. So therefore comes out, in all your clauses, what does it mean? When you bought your apartment and you have these sources,
means
go to Basin. But you have all the rights in Basin, whatever the second law gave you. Okay. That's the opinion of the Sivas, which doesn't fit with the Rashba. Doesn't fit with the Rashba. We're going to have to deal with that next week. How we rectify that, if we can. Says the Taz. Says the Taz. On the same Sma. And the Sivas. Nearly, we look at number 5. I feel in Rotzazesh, Yadonalo, Yisrael, Bosis, Hus. Even if you want to go to Basin, and you want to say to Basin, give me the rights of the secular law, Yeshua B'digalon, Ain Shoman, no. He doesn't have those rights. Zahavi Matna, Masha Kosim Torah, because you're going against the Torah. So it says you have to use the system of the Torah, not the system of the Begoyim. It doesn't work even in Basin. To be in Basin, it doesn't help you. It doesn't give you any rights. Why? Because of a Rosh. Because the Rosh, when it has a similar Shaila like the Sefer Tumas, and he writes, when you have such a clause in your contract, your Kavona is not connected in Torah. Obviously, you don't want to do things which are against the Torah. It's against the Torah to bind yourself by the system. It obviously doesn't mean that. So what does those words mean? Imagine that you don't have those rights. So what does it mean? I haven't written down what it means. He's saying, from the Rosh it says, when you have such words in the contract, it can't mean you're binding yourself by their system, even in Basin. Because that's also an issue, like the Rosh was saying. It's an issue. It doesn't mean that. So what does it mean? I didn't write it down. Can you give me an idea what it could mean? I'm testing your brain power here. The Rosh says, you've got a clause that says, you know what, we can go to court, we have a dispute, secular court. Yeah? They see me what it means, go to Basin and have their rights. It says, no, even that's awesome to do. So obviously it doesn't mean that. So what does it mean?
No. Do we say arbitration again?
No. So says the Rosh, you know what it means? It means If the guy doesn't want to turn up in basin, then I can take you to the courts. That's what it means, the clause in the basin, the court contract.
I tried
to get him to basin, and he doesn't want to come to basin. He's avoiding going to basin. I can take him to the courts even if the basin don't give me permission. Because they're too scared of him to give him permission. He's an island. They don't want to write letters against him. They don't want to say anything against him. But since I have this clause, I now have the right to go to the courts because of the clause and giving me right that when he doesn't want to go to basin, then you're allowed to go to the courts. So, of course, I have to try and get him to basin. Of course, he has to go to basin. And you can, even if they refuse to give a heter because they're scared of him, then you can just use the contract to go.
These both sound like very creative ways to read this court.
Yeah, you know why it's creative? Because it's impossible to say that you can go to the court.
But why would Curtis say more clearly? Why be so, misleading about
it? So, therefore, the eyes of the Taz, when you write something in your contract, when you write in the contract that, with the cup done, we have a dispute, we go to set court, what does it mean in the eyes of the Taz?
You go to Basin, and if the other guy doesn't come, then you can go to set court.
And what happens in Basin if he does come?
Then you go to Basin.
You ignore the secular law. You can't bind yourself by secular law. Yeah, it's awesome. So, therefore, this is only when you can interpret the words. But what happens? This is only when you can interpret the words. Then you get all the crucial. It means either going to basin and using their laws. It means going to the courts when he doesn't want to turn up the basin. But if it's written the favours on the contract, if there's a dispute, we're going to Tel Aviv courts, and they're going to decide our disputes according to their law. What's going to be the halach and such a thing? Is it allowed or not allowed?
Not allowed.
That's awesome to do. Okay, I'll tell you what happened next week. I'll tell you what happened. Okay. Right. Fine. So either it means you've got the rights of secular in Basin, or you've got no rights of secular in Basin, and you just have to go to Basin, and it only gives you right to go to court when you can't go to Basin. Okay. Two opinions, we'll see the halakha who is like next week. Pick up Gemina. Whether you can sign the contract at all. Yeah? Can you sign such a contract? That will decide next week. Now let's go to our main shayla. Maisa Shai Kachaya. Reuven is selling his apartment. And he's got a machzan, which he's converted into some yechidat dira, a little apartment. I won't say this with the chok or connected the chok, okay? We'll let's discuss that. But it's got so what does he want to do? He wants to sell the apartment to Reuven, Reuven's own apartment. So he wants to sell the apartment to Shimon, and he wants to sell this yechidat dira machzan to Levi. Let me ask you now. Can you do such a thing according to secular law? Can you split your neches, your in this property, to two separate owners?
No, there's such a law.
Yes, there's a law.
You can't sell a machzan independently if you don't have an apartment to build.
You cannot sell a machzan independently unless you own an apartment in the building. So you could sell the machzan to another neighbor in the building, but something out of the building you can't. It doesn't work. So what happened over here? So he sold the apartment to Shimon, and he sold the machzan to Levi. He said, ignore it. No, we're Torah Jews. We do the Torah way. Right? After everything was done and done, Shimon, who bought the apartment, but not the machzan, then changed the locks on the machzan and took possession of the machzan. and now we're in Beis Din. Between Shimon and Levi. And Reuven there is an aide at the beginning of the Din Torah, he was an aide. Then he became a Baal Tov at the end of the Din Torah.
Regardless of whether he could sell him up or not, what does it got to do with Shimon?
Because what does it say in Shimon's contract?
Oh, any disputes go to.
No. It says in Shimon's contract that he's buying all the rights of Reuven and all this Nechus. That's what the standard contract says.
Well, what Nechus?
Whatever Reuven's ownership in this property, he's taking over the whole ownership.
Given this, the owner probably excluded it.
It's the Dira and all the Hatzmah.
Which did he sell first?
Yep. So he sold the Machsan first.
Okay, so there wasn't part of the property.
Fine. But now Reuven is saying, what's Reuven's now? What's Shimon, who bought the apartments, claim? Levi bought the Machsan first, on the side the Torah way. Shimon bought the apartments afterwards, the official way. According to the contract, he's the ownership. But we know that Levi bought it first. And he agrees, Shimon says to Levi, yeah, you bought it first, I agree, that was the thing. But still, I'm taking possession of the Machsan.
Because it shows in Tabu it belongs to him.
Huh?
What's the difference between it shows in Tabu?
So let me ask you this question to start to get the ball going. What gives Levi, who bought the Machsan, the ownership of the Machsan? What's the Torah way of Levi getting ownership of the Machsan?
It's
a star
that he made.
It's a star. What's the what? You're buying its karka. Yeah. How do you buy karka according to halacha? Says the first Moroccan number 6, Aleph. Karka nikka be'echad ba'abazvan. You can buy karka in one of four ways. Kesef, money. Shtar, documents. Chazoka, actually taking possession of the property. Uber Gideon Sukkah, and we're doing a Gideon Sukkah. Now, what did Levi do?
Yeah, three of the four at least.
He did three of the four. He did Gideon. He did Kesef, he did Shtar, and he did Chazok. Levi. Now, so therefore, does he get him ownership according to Halacha?
Yes.
He did three. According to Halacha, you need to do all four?
Anyone.
He
can
do
anyone.
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 He can do anyone. And he did three. So he should be covered. Not so cautious. Look at the base, sixth base, which is the sixth sign over there. When does money work? Only if it's normal to sell property without documents, then money works. But in a place where it's normal to sell it only with a document, low corner, you can't acquire a karka just with money. You have to have a document. Okay? So we've knocked out the possibility of Kenyan test of money working, because it doesn't work, because how do you acquire property nowadays? What's the minhag to acquire property? Shtar. Sure. So if it's minhag to acquire property, test is out, don't even start. Now, he's got shtar.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Can shtar work? Says the next Marabokan Gimel. He says, Chazoka lechutzah. Only chazoka below kesef or below shtar koni. The only thing that could work is chazoka. If right, the kesef koni. Kolhecha dailo zelo ayal apit mezuzi. Chazoka, taking possession is the only thing that works. I feel a mokum shem nogu lichter shtar. Even in a place where it's no to rita shtar, the only thing that works
by itself is
chazoka. Now. So, Lachori, he's got still Shtar, and he's got Chazoka. Kesef, if you're not found. Now let me ask you, the Shtar, which the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch are talking about, what type of Shtar is it? What is a Shtar, according to Halacha?
Saying that you own this property.
What's a Shtar, according to Halacha, to be called, you've done a Kenyan Shtar? What's a Shtar, according to Halacha?
A deed.
What's the Halachic Shtar?
It's an
Eden. Firstly, the paper has to belong to you. Secondly, you have to maybe write it. Thirdly, you have to the one that's selling the property. The one that's selling the property has to own the paper. Secondly, the one selling the property has to write the paper. Write it. Thirdly, he has to say in the document, correct Lishonis, I'm actually selling it. Not that I'm mischayim, in a sense. I'm obligated, in a sense. He actually says, I'm selling this item. Yeah. And what happens if you've got too many gaps? Is it kosher star? Halakhti? There's too many gaps, it's not kosher star. So therefore, in our contract, have you got these requirements?
Oh, he gets the lawyer.
He got none of these requirements.
You're hiring your Sharia.
Because the document is possible intrinsically because there's too many gaps in it. Yeah, and it has to be written with ink, which can't be forged. Therefore, halakhically, there's no such thing nowadays as shtar halakhically. So how do you buy things nowadays? If there's no things as shtar? What?
Can you sit in there?
Minog, satumta. Satumta. Because the minog says, this type of document is valid, and it works, so therefore it actually creates a kid. Okay. So we haven't got kesef, we haven't got shtar, we've got something called minog. Now, if we're only using minog, does the minog say it's a valid document when you're buying a mahsan that's not in your building?
The minhag says yes.
Does the minhag say?
The minhag says yes.
Minhag, how's the minhag corrected over here?
What people do.
No.
No.
The law says if you do this. No, Regev, this is how we start. The law says if you do this and this and this, then it's a valid contract. And then the public says, okay, we're going to do everything like this. According to this, your rules we're going to follow in order to make this a valid transaction. That's, you're not going to the law, now you created a minhag because of the law. The law said the rules, and now the public took on those rules as a common practice.
But this public didn't take on those rules.
No, you're absolutely wrong. I'll prove you in a second. So if we're saying it's not, kesef doesn't work, and shtar doesn't work, it only works if the shtar is valid according to secular law, because it's only working because of minhag, and minhag is based on I'm doing a proper secular document which is valid, that I relate to as being a transaction. If secular law says in this particular case it doesn't work, then it's not going to work because of minhag either. And you can't say, well, we're Haimish, and Haimish doesn't go like that. Minhag is based on rove transactions. Just because you have an oddball transactions of machsans ever so often, that's not enough to create a minhag against it. So therefore, you haven't got kesef, you haven't got halachic shtar, and you haven't got minhag. So all you got now left is chazoka. Okay, chazoka. Does chazoka work? So said the Shulchan Aruch that chazaka works. Yeah, I feel the makom shenu galik the shtar. Even the place where you have a shtar, we normally say you have to write the shtar. It says chazaka works. Seems to me that there's an ultimate kinyan which nothing can destroy called chazaka, taking possession.
Wait a minute, you were just saying yourself because you just established that this is not a makom that's a minhag lichtav shtar. So kesef alone will work.
No, the minhag.
There's no star
to buy. Look, what
you said? You said there's no star.
You are not listening. You're just listening to yourself.
Okay. Much more fun. Listen.
What's minhag? When we buy fixed property, karka, how do you do it? Not this particular thing to do. How do you buy in town karka? Only with a star that's valid according to the second law. That's how we do it. If
right.
It's not valid according to the second law, it's not the minhag.
Correct.
If it doesn't.
What?
But
that's not a halachic star. If it's not a halachic star, kesef alone will work.
No, because in b'mokum that you write a star.
But it's not a star. It's something else.
You know what that
it's
means?
It's a contract.
In a mokum where we don't rely on kesef by itself, kesef doesn't work. And it's still a mokum now.
That's not what it says.
That's what it means. You want to know what the source is? That's it. Okay. So, but chazoka should work. Because chazoka is the ultimate. It should work. So let's see what the Rav Moshe Feinstein says. Does chazaka work? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Poshet. Se'af b'mechiras karkas u'batim. That when you're selling your houses, lo nikna b'nesenu, you can't sell it and you can't buy it in our country, good old state of America, k'doma lo b'kesef lo b'shtar, not with money, and not with documents, cause manchlo oslo kadina medina, if you don't follow the rules of what the country sees as a contract, a transaction. The Shumot the Loisomach Data and Adina Midina Mizeh. Because no one has any smichas das when they're buying it, any gemiras das when they're buying it, unless you're following the secular requirements as well. And therefore, when you're selling chometz, he carries on the same. Outside, when you're selling chometz, don't sell your house to the goy, because selling to a goy, you have to sell it according to the secular law. And if you don't follow the secular law, it's not called selling. Rent it out. Rent it out. You can rent it out because the secular law doesn't care how you rent. But selling, you have to follow their particular laws, and you don't when you sell chometz. So therefore, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, the only way to acquire karka is to follow the rules of what the secular law says, that's how to acquire karka. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So, I just made my, now a big question.
Well, is that karka?
Where's, why not chazok?
But
he's saying the only thing that works is secular law.
No, he didn't.
Yes,
he
said.
Yeah,
but he said the only thing that works is secular. What do you mean? I got
no. He said not kesef and not star. Yeah. As long as you didn't do anything.
Look, have you switched on your mind tonight?
No.
Yeah.
He said,
Greg, you're reading the wrong words of the remission. The remission says the only thing to do is to follow secular law.
Where does he
and
say
therefore
that?
He follows, and if you carry on, he says
selling comments.
Don't sell your property to the goy, because it won't work.
Because the goy can't make a chazaka.
He can make a chazaka.
A goy can't make a chazaka. The goy is only with kesef.
He can do, no, you can make chazaka. For sure you can make chazaka.
And he doesn't. The goy doesn't come and make a chazaka.
No.
I still don't see where he said that.
You're defending a weak position. Very good. Ein shum. Where's chazaka gone? I understand why he can't do kesef. I understand why he can't do shtar. But chazok is the house of a kingdom. Why did Rav Moshe say there's nothing to do? The only thing that you can possibly do to acquire property is to follow their rules. What do you mean? I can ignore their rules and do chazokah. Why? Said in Shulchan Aruch that chazokah works even when the town has a minhag to write the shtar. You can ignore the minhag and do chazokah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So why does it work when the town's minhag is to do a shtar? It works according to Shulchan Aruch. Minhag to do a shtar. No one does chazokah. You do chazokah, it works. Even though you're going against the minhag, it works, says Shulchan Aruch. So it should work against the second law.
Chazokah doesn't work when it's stealing. Chazokah only works when you got it to head there.
Yeah, you give permission. No, they said give permission. It's not stealing. Why doesn't it work? Why not real chazokah? Ah, very good. Why? Ah, you're likely like somebody who's the owner. Look at Atzil Avonon. Atzil Avonon, this is where we'll finish tonight. Afilu chazoka nami lo mahani. Even chazoka doesn't work.
What is he talking about?
He's going on the Shulchan Aruch. The Adonati chazoka. Aye, the Shulchan Aruch says it does work. When the town's minhag is through as document, it does work chazoka. And I'm saying it doesn't. I'm going against the Shulchan Aruch. No, chaz v'shalom. Afilu mokah shenogu liktasha. Haynu heicha shenogu obnan liktasha. Avalo nog leheja she'edashta lo yichalak. When does chazoka work? Chazoka works when the minhag is the right ishta. But there's no minhag to say chazaka doesn't work. There's no difference. We just happen to be star the whole time. Ah, you're doing something we don't do. Okay, chazaka works. But Abu Makkah Shenogu Mefurish. But if the minhag is Mefurish, Shalolikness below star, that you can't acquire. Only thing you can do is star, and chazaka won't give you possession. That's the minhag to say chazaka doesn't work. Does that mean that say chazaka doesn't work? Then if it doesn't work, then chazaka doesn't work. Therefore, going back to our case of the master, Levi, what's he done? I own it. How you own it? Kesef. No, kesef doesn't work when you have minhag to do shtar, and everyone has minhag to do something besides kesef. No one relies on kesef myself, so kesef has. Oh, I got shtar. Oh, it's a possible shtar. Logically, there's gaps over here. It's not good shtar. Well, I got minhag. Yeah, the minhag says you can't acquire machzor, so you can't do anything. Well, I got chazaka, I got possession. No, there's a minhag that says that the possession is not a kinyan nowadays, and so it doesn't work by itself. We actually have a hanhaga to say that possession is useless, that the chazaka is useless, that there, even chazaka doesn't work, as when Moshe brings out. So what Levi done? He acquired nothing. So it comes on Shimon and says to the Beis Din, Levi, yeah, he was first. First in what? First in wanting to buy the thing. But he never bought it. He never bought it, and therefore I was afterwards. But it says in my document, I take everything, I take his machzan, I change his lot, I keep everything. That's what Shimon is claiming.
Maybe still has minhag.
What?
Maybe still has minhag. Because the minhag we're saying is that when you, the acquisition has to be done in the proper contractual way, it's done in the Medina. But not everything else, I mean, the fact that it was...
How do you acquire kaka in the Medina? Only with a document which is recognized, Loshon of the Ramosha, recognized by the Medina.
And his document is recognized by
the Medina. No! You don't take this document to the Medina, they don't recognize it. They don't recognize
it. It's a technicality.
They don't recognize it. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
They don't matter. They don't recognize it. So the Chora comes out, so Fira Moshe finds his paskening. Shimon should get the apartment, but we also receive something from Ramosha that's Nogea to us. We have a Machlokas Rashba, and we have the Machlokas Rashba and the Sefer Hachumus. In the eyes of the Nesivites, where you can bind yourself by secular law. What did Moshe say? Moshe says that you're doing a contract, and you're making a relationship, and you're binding yourself according to how the secular law interprets your relationship.
I don't think Ramosh is referring to a contract. He's referring to recording the deed.
Yeah, fine. He's saying you're binding your financial relationship according to how the secular law...
One specific thing.
So the secular law interprets your relationship.
You're only creating an evidence for yourself if you have to go to court.
Fine. No, you're actually quite making a kidding. He's talking about you can't
take
ownership.
But you're not binding yourself.
Yeah, he's saying when you make an agreement with somebody, you're making agreements based on how the secular law tells you how to make the agreements.
No,
so the Chora, it's maybe not exactly identical to what we're discussing, but it's very similar. You're saying that I'm making an agreement with you.
No, it's not Chora an agreement.
Chora tells me one thing, but the secular law tells me another.
Recording
and I'm obligating
agreement.
Myself to go according to what the secular law is telling me. The Chora that fits more nicely with the Nesivus and the Rashba. The Siva says you can do that, just do it based on. But the Rashba says you can't, you really don't care what the secular law does. The Chorit shouldn't be true. You can maybe make Chilukim, which is not as you tried to say, and that we'll discuss next week. But what we conclude this week is that Shimon, in the eyes of Ramosha Feinstein, is the one who actually owns the Machzan, because Levi never acquired it.
Is that case closed?
No, because we'll see next week whether Ramosha is the only opinion out there. Okay. Have